Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
The devil likes to take us to those extremes psychologically, where in our minds, we're so big we don't need God, or we're so insignificant that God doesn't care. And if he can keep you in any one of those extremes, he can deprive you of the blessing that God wants to instill in your life. You may be seated, too big to be blessed. Let me give you a little history of this. Gideon was a great man of God. And Israel was being besieged by the Midianites. And in the midst of this, in the preceding chapter, in chapter 6, Gideon cried out to God and he said, "Where be all the miracles that my fathers told me about? I was not there in Egypt, but I know the miracles that God did in Egypt, and you have not done them for us here now. And I just want to be where all, I want to ask the question, where be all the miracles?" And God's answer was, "Because Israel has sinned, I've allowed the Midianites to surround you and take you into captivity." And it was a major, major besiegement by the Midianites. There were 32,000 Israelites and as many as perhaps a quarter of a million Midianites. They were hopelessly outnumbered. And so Gideon said, "Are you going to deliver us?" And God said, "Yes, I am going to deliver you, but not in the way that you think." It was so bad that the Midianites would hide out in the caves and Israel would sow their seed and go through the harvest, go through the planting and the carrying time, the 3 months of caring for their crop. And about the time that they were ready to harvest, the Midianites would come out of their hiding and take their harvest. And so this might be a good word for somebody today, that you realize that you're sowing, but you're not getting the harvest. If you're sowing and you're not getting the harvest, there is a reason, and God wants to correct that. And so Israel was overwhelmed by the sheer numbers of its enemy. They were losing their harvest. They were starving to death. And God said, "I want to correct this, and I will do it by my hand." And so Israel said, "Well, perhaps, but we are greatly outnumbered." And God said, "It's not that you are too small. It's that you're too big in your mind." Friend, I'm going to tell you that God is a supernatural God, that he still works in miracles. But the Bible teaches our flesh is the enemy of the spirit. The reason why Jesus said these come not out by prayer and fasting, prayer does what? It increases the strength of the spirit. What does fasting do? It diminishes the power of the flesh. And so that's the reason why prayer and fasting work in conjunction and in concert. And so at least four times bigger the enemy was than Israel. At least four times, perhaps more. And God explains it. He said, "The children of Israel did evil in my sight, and so I delivered them in the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. They came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitudes, for both they and their camels are without number." Said it's such a great army, the Midianites. We can't even number. We're not sure how many there is, but there's hundreds of thousands. When you look at the parking lot, it's full of camels. And we don't know how many people's there, but man, we know they got lots of camels. They are a big army. And because of that, Israel said, "Well, I'm not sure that we are strong enough to be victorious over the Midianites." And God said, "I'm sure you're not strong enough. But in your mind, you still think that perhaps in your flesh you can defeat the Midianites." Friend, we do ourselves a disservice if we think that we can be victorious in our flesh. You can't write enough checks, pray enough prayers, come to enough services to bring victory to your life. It's not by might, physical fleshly might, not by humanity's power. But it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. "O Galatians, who hath bewitched you," Paul would write, said, "you began in the spirit, now do you think you can be perfected in the flesh?" And that is the lesson that God is getting ready to test and to show Israel. God has a unique method of revealing His power to deliver. And so Gideon, as their leader, was concerned that their numbers were too small. And God said, your numbers are too great. Because if you were to get this victory with 32,000 troops, you would begin to brag, we are mighty in strategy. We are strong in our warfare. We are strong as an army. And we are geniuses at planning. And God said, let's take care of that. Said, Gideon, go out and address your army, 32,000 of them, and say to them, if you're fearful, you are released to go home. And Gideon probably thought a few stragglers and a few people with yellow stripes up their back would turn and walk away. But what happened was 22,000 out of 32,000 left. And Gideon is left with just 10,000 now. And he said, there is no possible way that I can defeat the Midianites with just 10,000. But God said, well, just perhaps there's somebody in those 10,000 that still think that they are superhumans and that 10,000 could defeat that 200,000 or 300,000 Midianites. So she said, let's try this one more time. And I like what the Bible said. The Bible said in Judges 7 and 8, he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent. I don't want to be sent to my tent. I want to be involved in what God is going to do in the end time, because what God is going to do in the end time is going to be the greatest thing that He's ever done. I can tell you about God that He's never anticlimactic. He never does less. He always does more. So you can look at the history of the church, starting at the Old Testament church. You can look at the church in the book of Acts and in the New Testament. You can look at it at the turn of this century where there was great revival in America and great revival in parts of this world. And you said, that was amazing. But I can tell you what God is going to do before the rapture of His church is going to be the apex. It's going to be the greatest thing that God ever did. And so I'm not going to let fear send me to my tent. I intend to stay in God's army, and when God gets it down to its smallest denomination, I'm going to be there because I know what God is going to do. But fear is the greatest enemy of victory in God's kingdom. That's the reason why it is mentioned so many times in the Bible where God says, fear not, fear not. That's the reason why the book of Revelation, it lists fear with terrible sins like murder and fornication and adultery, and it includes fear as a sin. The Bible said whatever is not of faith is sin. And so faith, of course, is the opposite of fear. And so fear is a sin. And so it is very difficult to not be fearful if you're depending on your flesh, because sooner or later you're going to realize the weakness of your flesh, and that's when fear comes in. But if your strength and your faith is in the power of Almighty God, it will deliver you from fear, because you will say, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when, but I know this, that my God is greater. My God is greater. If we put our faith in flesh, and the flesh fails us, and it will, we're devastated. But if we put our faith in God, He will not fail, and we are strengthened. And so God said, one more time, let me break this army down. So when the victory comes, there will be nobody that will be able to say, faith has brought, or flesh has brought me this victory. But everyone will be able to testify to the strength of Almighty God. So He said, I want you, Gideon, to send all of your people to drink. And He said, when they do, divide them by the way they drink. He said, some will kneel down on their knees and lap, right with their tongue right in the water. Others will take their hand and bring the water to their mouth. And He said, you separate those. And when they did that, 9,700 men knelt on their knees and put their mouth down to the water. And Gideon said, now I've only got 9,700 because only 300 took the water and brought it to their mouth with their hands. And God said, no, you've got the wrong group. You don't have 9,700. Send them down. You've got 300. At this point in time, Gideon realized that he had to depend on Almighty God. You know, I am a great admirer of medicine and modern medicine and doctors and what they do. But I love the doctors that I particularly have because the doctors I have, every one of them are men of faith. And we always talk about faith, and they will acknowledge that they are not the healer. They're simply the worker, but God is the healer. There are people that have the same disease, and one person dies, and the other person gets well. Why is that? Because God is the healer. My strength and my confidence in every situation is in God. And I know that God is greater. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. I believe in the Spirit of Almighty God. I believe in the supernatural. And the Bible teaches us that as we get educated and we become intellectuals and we become wealthy, it's more difficult for us to depend on our faith because we start depending on our education and on our wisdom and on our bank accounts. And that's the reason why it's more difficult. It doesn't mean that if you have a good education and you have a good amount of money in the bank that you can't believe God. But it does mean that you don't lean on that because you realize money can't buy the way out and you realize you can't think your way out. You're going to have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. And by this time, Gideon was well aware that 250,000, a quarter of a million Midianites, were going to come against him, and he only had 300 soldiers. And by this time, he realized, only God. At your point in life, you have to realize, only God. I saw Jaden post, and she said that prayer should not be the last resort, but it should be our first resource. The first thing you ought to do is turn to God. Not turn to God last, but turn to God first. And so God said, now take these 300 men you've got, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to divide them in companies of 100, put a trumpet in their hand, put a pitcher, an empty pitcher in their hand with a candle under that. And he said, I'm going to give you a great victory. Ladies and gentlemen, God's ways are not our ways. God is always mysterious. God always has mystique. God is always miraculous. God will do it, but he'll never do it in the way that is sanctioned by your intellect. He is a major God. He is an amazing God. He's a supernatural God. He'll always have a little boy with a lunch. He'll always have something that seems to be insignificant. But the writer would write in the Bible and said, whether God saves by few or by many, God will save. God can use any number. And friend, there's somebody in this building that seems like you're overwhelmed and you're outnumbered. This message is for you today. You're not overwhelmed and you're not outnumbered because God is on your side. And it's an old truth, but God is inside of you, and greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And so here they march out. 103 companies, and they have a trumpet in their hand. They have a pitcher, an empty pitcher with a candle in that, and God said, now we're going to have a great victory. What was the significance of that? The trumpet, it qualifies as the declaration praise of Jehovah. The word says God is going up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. The Bible said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Friend, I can tell you, no matter how big the opposition is, if you've got the trumpet of praise, you're well on your way to defeating the enemy, no matter how big he is. And there's somebody in this building today that simply needs to get your trumpet of praise, not just in this 9 o'clock service, but you'll need it on 9 o'clock on Monday morning as well. That praise will become an effervescent thing in your life where it's just flowing all the time. You're like David 7 times a day, and I don't think that he held himself to that. It might have been 12 times a day. He just meant that he praised God all over and over and over and over. Friend, you might be outnumbered by your eyesight, but if you will learn to praise God in your automobile, in your bedroom, at work, driving down the road, wherever you are, God will send an army of angels in your behalf, and that great multitude that seems to be against you will be brought to none. And so, number one, the trumpet represents the declaration of the praise for Jehovah. The empty pitcher, it represents the futile flesh. The best thing that you can do every day of your life is empty yourself out. And do that spiritually through prayer. And the Bible said, come with empty vessels. When you come with empty vessels, God can fill them up. You've got to empty yourself. The Bible said, die daily. Empty yourself out. Give away everything you've got. Throw it away. Cast it away. If it's good, invest it somewhere. Invest it in somebody that needs your help. If it's bad, cast your cares on him. But make sure that you've got a trumpet. Make sure that you've got an empty pitcher. And third, the lamp. The lamp equals the Word of God. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The flesh is empty and worthless, and friend, it's time that we break that empty pitcher and let the Word of God shine in our light. And let everybody know we're going to stand on the Word of God. And friend, when they begin to blow that trumpet, and when they broke that empty pitcher and those candles began to show, 253 people had fear turned upon them, and they did not even have to raise a sword against them. In fact, Israel did not even have a sword. All they had was a broken pitcher, a burning candle, and a trumpet to make the sound of praise. That's all they had. But when God illustrated this plan, something happened in the camp of the enemy. And that was that the Amalekites, in such fear, began to panic and stampede. And they got their swords out and began to flash them around. And one by one, they begin to kill their fellow soldiers. The Amalekites were destroyed by what's known in warfare terms as friendly fire. And Israel didn't have to do anything but praise God, break their pitcher, and demonstrate the Word of God. I want to tell somebody in this building today that you are not out, you might be outnumbered, but you are not outpowered. God is on your side. I know what the doctor said this week was not what you wanted to hear. I know your checkbook didn't look like you wanted to look. I know that your relationships in your family didn't turn out well this week. But friend, you're outnumbered, but you're not outpowered. God is on your side. But God said, I will not surrender my glory. In other words, if you're too big in your flesh, God can't bless you. You've got to give God the glory and the credit. Friend, I don't know what you think of me, but I can tell you that I'm not a proud person in my spirit, because I am well aware of my failure, my futility, my inability, my limitations. I know them all too well. But one thing I've learned in these many years of serving God, that He is my God, that He will never leave me and He will never forsake me, that He's always on my side. And when I say to God, God, I can't do it in my flesh, but the Holy Ghost that is inside of me is well able. That's when the Spirit of God kicks in action. And He said, where you can't make a way, I'll make a way. Where you can't get a victory, I'll give you a victory. Where you can't conquer the enemy, I will conquer the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, God said to Saul, He said, when you were small in your sight, I gave you victory over the enemy. But when you became large in your sight, you were defeated. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, you can't write a big enough check. You can't do it in your flesh. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can put the trumpet to your lips today and declare to everybody you know, my God is good. My God is able. My God is powerful. My God gives me victory. My God never leaves me. My God never forsakes me. My God always turns the evil evil to good. My God always turns the ashes to beauty. My God always turns the sickness to healing. My God always turns the poverty to prosperity. What a mighty God I serve. I want to blow the trumpet of praise today and tell you that good God walks these aisles today, and he's just waiting for you to become as a little child, because he said if you become as a little child, you will enter into the kingdom of God, and suddenly all of the kingdom of God will come to your aid and fight your battles, and that outnumbering force against you will be brought to naught. God is on our side. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not by might or power, but it's by the praise of Almighty God. It's by breaking the pitcher of the flesh and releasing the power of the Word of God in our life that we are more than conquerors. No weapon can come against us that will prosper. No number of people can defeat us. No circumstance can bring us down. God is in this building today. It's a very simple plan. Can you see how simple it was? It was not a military strategy. It was just 300 men blowing their trumpets, breaking their pitchers, and showing their light. The Bible said, I am fearful lest we corrupt the simplicity is in Christ. It's a very simple thing. Come to God's house. Lift up your voice and praise him like he is here, because he is. Give God the glory and realize that it's not by the strength of man, but it is by the power of the Holy Ghost. His wind bloweth where it listeth. His spirit flows throughout this universe. Do not in any way cow before the powers of political persuasion and say we have to give in. That's just where we are. No, my God is greater. He's greater than any government, greater than any nation, greater than any persecution, greater than any trial, greater than any test, greater than any pain, greater than any sickness, greater than any attack. My God is a mighty God. I lift him up. I glorify him. And if your eyes could be open today, you would see that this house is full of angels, and the Shekinah glory of God skips from pew to pew, and God is saying, I've come to be your God. And if you will humble yourself and not be too strong and too big, I will bless you beyond your expectation. And when you walk out of this building, you will have a testimony. When I didn't know how, God knew how. When I couldn't, God did. God made a way where there was no way, and I take no confidence in my flesh. The Apostle Paul said, I am determined to know nothing except Christ and him crucified, because the Apostle Paul had a PhD. He was brilliant. He was educated, and yet he said, I put it under my foot because I know that my educational superiority among men means nothing in the kingdom of God, but my trust in the cross. It's foolishness to men, but to me it is the power of God unto salvation. There's power in that blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in prayer. There's power in speaking with tongues. There's power in the Holy Ghost. There's power in worship. There's power in a hallelujah. There's power in a praise the Lord. There's power in a dance. There's power in applauding the Lord. There's power in singing the Lord's song in a strange land. It is a miraculous thing. God is greater, and I want to serve notice on the devil, and I want to serve notice on the angels. I cannot do anything. I'm not too big to be blessed, because I bow my knee to God and say, without God I am nothing, but through Christ I can do all things. The Holy Ghost is in this house. Somebody ought to get healed today. Somebody ought to get saved today. Somebody ought to get filled with the Holy Ghost today. Somebody ought to have a relationship mended today. Somebody ought to have a financial miracle today, because God will not withhold any good thing from you if you will give him the glory. Would you stand on your feet and give God the praise in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are an heir to place significance on fleshly exploits. It deprives us of the blessing of God. And we're just as greatly in error to think the things of God are insignificant. Coming to an altar, what can that do? It seems so insignificant. Going to a baptismal pool to be baptized with simple city water, what can that do? It's simply because God said, do it. Don't you know those guys looked at their trumpet, looked at the empty pitcher, looked at the candle, and their mind said, 250,000 enemies against us. What can these three simple things do? But God is saying, it's not the trumpet, it's not the pitcher, it's not even the burning candle. It's your confidence in me. I am able to take the simplest things. There are people in this building that are facing overwhelming odds in your life, financially, physically. We've got one of the couples, they're watching right now, and I pray for them every day, and they send their tithe, and they send me letters, and occasionally we'll talk on the phone or through text. But he's had an awful battle with cancer. Actually, this is the second time. And I didn't know he had cancer until several weeks ago. I didn't know it'd come back. He knew that he might not get to talk to me in the crowd. And so he came and he stood right here. And he had a little sign pinned on him. It said, my cancer is back. He wanted me to know that when I prayed for him. It did change the fervency of my prayer. But I got a wonderful letter from him yesterday, Friday. And he said, my cancer is now being brought under dominion. It was in his tongue, and I don't know where all. I'm starting to talk again. He said, the awful pain is gone. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, the enemy is a real enemy, but God is greater. Somebody in this building feels like you're overwhelmed. You're not out. You might be outnumbered, but you're not outpowered. You need to step out of your pew and run to this altar right now and say a simple trip to the altar, a simple prayer.